Paul Neyland. He is running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District for the primary coming up on the Republican side, August 9th. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Sly.
Where do you live now in the 1st Congressional District?
I'm in Delavan.
You're in Delavan.
Yep.
All right. So you're not very far away.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Tell us your story.
Well, I was originally a Paul Ryan supporter. Arguably, I would say I was.
No,
one of
I mean
his,
your story.
Oh, my story. My story. Look, I'm a Midwest guy. I'm an engineer. I'm an inventor. I've run businesses here in the United States. I've worked for Fortune 500 companies.
Ride a bicycle and fix it at the same time?
I was the guy with a Fortune 500 company that we would buy a new broken bicycle and they'd say, ride it and fix it at the same time. So that's kind of my gig. I love manufacturing. I've done it all over the place, and
you know every manufacturing job creates three or four more, right?
At least. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the dollar in a manufacturing job goes a long way.
People in Washington don't get that.
No, they don't. They're mainly only concerned with the dollars that are coming their way. That really is what Washington has morphed into, this really uniparty that we're up against, the crony capitalism. It's not free trade. It's not free trade by any stretch of the imagination.
They're investment agreements. Trade is kind of the fig leaf.
Yeah. They're
Trojan horse, however you'd like to put it.
Yeah. Wages have stagnated for a long time, and that largely stems from what the corruption that's going on in D.C.
All right. So you said that. And so, how would you describe yourself politically? I know it's hard. I don't like labels particularly, but
sure.
Kind of your philosophy.
Yeah, I'm a coalition building kind of a guy. I mean, I'm running against Paul Ryan on the Republican ticket. Let's not kid ourselves here. Uh-huh. But the Republican Party has been co-opted into believing that Paul Ryan is some sort of a conservative person, and Paul Ryan's a Paul Ryan person. He's not for the people of the first district. He's, you know, whether you're a Democrat, whether you subscribe yourself to, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, I'm a progressive liberal, or I'm a Tea Party person, we all have common ground issues that we can talk about. Who in their right mind would say a Washington bureaucrat knows better about your children than you do? I'll tell you who, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan believes he knows better than you do about your kids.
In what way?
Well, Paul Ryan recently passed the Every Student Succeeds Act, and essentially in the cover of darkness, which completely expands federal control over your children. They're data mining children right now. Paul Ryan is the biggest spending guy, but that spending's not really. It's helping his special interest buddies in D.C.
I mean, so you weren't happy about the latest budget deal?
No, I'm not. Well, it's not a budget deal. I mean, if you put a pile of money in front of somebody and tell them to spend it, does that make you a budget manager? No, that makes you a swiper of other people's money that you're spending it on. And so $1.8 trillion that Paul Ryan, he wants to say that this was John Boehner. Let's not kid ourselves. Where was Paul Ryan when that was being done? Paul
Ryan
was
on
Ways and Means. Yeah. Paul Ryan was in the background helping write that thing so that he could put on a little bit of kabuki theater for us and say, you know, well, let's not look in the background. Let's just look forward.
Have you noticed that he lectures more now? His intonation when he speaks, he always sounds like he's lecturing. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. I've studied him like game tapes. Once when the Matrix came down for me, I looked back and I thought, man, this guy really fooled me. A lot of people have said he was really fooled.
When he was my waiter at Tortilla Coast in 1993, he didn't act like that.
Yeah.
And I give him credit for being willing to work any job to, you know, keep himself going. But he's been part of, you know, he worked for Bob Caston before he was a congressman.
Sure.
He's worked for Sam Brownback. He's been in Washington a long time.
That's right, Sly. He's an establishment guy and just a career politician. And if you'd say, hey, he's working on behalf of the first district and he's doing great stuff for us, you know, go get him. Go team.
This district's hurting.
This district is hurting. This district, they are choking off manufacturing jobs here because they're more interested in sending them overseas. This trade deal, this
Trans-Pacific Partnership,
this job-killing, district-leveling trade deal, also known as Trans-Pacific Partnership, it's going to export our jobs worse than NAFTA, and even worse, it allows companies to import workers into our to replace us in our jobs here
with the H-1B visas.
H-1B visas. That's going on now. That's today. That's terrible. It's awful. That's going on today with this new trade deal. H-1B visas. Who cares about H-1B visas? They've just opened the floodgates to anybody bringing. And
what do you think of the other giveaways in that trade deal, like the extensions to Big Pharma for their patents, or the ability for global corporations to sue the United States of America? Like if Janesville or Madison or Milwaukee pass a bill with Buy American being able to sue a community saying no, you are, your fleet of cars you're violating this trade agreement. What do you think about that sovereignty?
Yeah, this thing creates who in their right mind thinks the EU? Nobody in the EU even thinks the EU is good. And this trade deal sets up a supranational board that essentially we're not electing, that then supersedes anything that the Senate and the Congress, the President, all the way down through the state organizations. So locally, people know we have a lot of smart voters here in the First District, and they're not going to be fooled by what's going on in this trade deal. They're not.
Let me play a clip of Paul Ryan talking about Fast Track, which of course he claims actually held the president in check, but as far as I'm concerned, is a complete cave-in, whoever the executive is, to negotiating one of these deals. Here's Paul Ryan.
What this really does, Kelly, is it puts Congress in the driver's seat along with the administration, and it gets Congress involved in the front end of the process. Look, there's nothing constitutionally stopping a president from actually negotiating any trade agreement. What this does is it gets Congress in the front end of the agreement, participating in it, so that you can get that up or down vote, so that we can get the best deal from our trade partners, because our trade partners won't give us their best offer if they think when you bring it to Congress, we'll just rewrite it. And so Understood. We wanted to get the best of both worlds here.
But they gave President Obama, and this happened with Bush and Clinton, they gave him fast-track authority before they saw one word of the text.
Yeah, 5,500 pages.
Negotiated in secret.
Do you think that Paul Ryan read that? No. Do you think that most of those people read it? No. They couldn't. They couldn't take notes on it. They couldn't make copies of it. They couldn't. People had to go down underneath the building in the vault and memorize it so they could come out and tell us what was going on.
We know a little more about it because of WikiLeaks.
Yeah, right.
But for the most part, these things are...
Look, I'm not a hard-hearted guy. You know, people say, are you against a Chinese person making a good wage? No, absolutely not. This is exploitation of workers. That's what this trade deal is. That's what the H-1B visa program is. It's exploitation of workers. So when they say things like Abbott Labs is letting go of 180, 190 people. They brought their replacements in. They'll go over and they'll solicit a group of very smart human beings, don't get me wrong, and they'll say, we'd like you to come to the United States. We'll pay you $50,000 a year. Would you like to come to the United States? Oh, sure, I would. Make more money. We're gonna make some deductions from your paycheck for housing or for some other things. So they get out their check and they say, okay. So they fly these folks over, and then they say, okay, we found a place that you're gonna live. And they'll put five or six workers in the same apartment.
I know.
But they'll subtract the same amount of money from all five or six of them, give them one key, and say, you guys are all going to live in the same apartment.
Indentured servants.
And they're indentured servants. Okay. Didn't we fight a war against that in this country?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
So you're in this race.
Absolutely.
This is a big commitment. Are you a self-funder? Are you a fund? What are you? Ross Perot?
No. Well, you bring up Ross Perot. I was on Ross Perot's side of this fight when NAFTA was coming through, because look at what NAFTA has been, an abomination to us. This is so much worse than NAFTA. I'm putting a substantial amount. I've worked hard. Like I was saying, I started out at 18 in a factory work my way through engineering school at night, work my way through my MBA at night. I've earned a good living. I've worked very hard. I work very hard now. And I'm going to put a substantial amount of my own money in, but I need donations. Paul Ryan has over I think he's got close to $7 million now in his campaign war chest. I would add to that, 83% of Paul Ryan's campaign war chest has been funded outside of this district. And of that 83%, 65% of it came in the form of large donations from D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia, from his special interest buddies, the same people that want this trade deal to go through. They're the ones who put money in Paul Ryan's campaign war chest. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that at all. I've got people who
not are coming from McGuanico.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Paul Ryan flies into town, and he will have a big shindig where there'll be cameras on him, and there'll be some diehard people. But as more and more people are learning where Paul Ryan's financing's coming from, they're understanding that this guy's not supporting us. You drive past big factories that don't have people working in them. I passed one coming over here to see you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's sickening. That turns my stomach.
Well, since Paul Ryan's become a congressman and he's been a proponent of these free trade agreements the entire time he's been in office, he couldn't vote for NAFTA. He wasn't in office, but he was working for someone who did support him. GM in Janesville, Chrysler in Kenosha, so many jobs from Case and Racine, Delphi in Oak Creek. Those are all in this district,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's a big chunk of jobs.
Every manufacturing job supports other manufacturing jobs in all likelihood. And they support delis and coffee shops. And, you know, I pay my mortgage out of my paycheck. I've worked hard. I continue to pay my mortgage out of my paycheck. And, you know, for somebody who doesn't understand that, like Paul Ryan, I mean, Paul Ryan talks about he's all for border security. Paul Ryan's for Paul Ryan's security. He has armed security around him 24/7. He has a fence around his estate up there in Janesville, around this very large...
The Parker Penn Mansion.
There you go.
Ironically, yeah. The Parker Penn's gone. You're actually in the Parker Penn former headquarters here. The jobs went overseas. You said in one of the articles that I read that he has literally lied on every issue where he made a promise.
Absolutely.
What would those be other than... I don't know if he ever made a promise about voting against trade deals, but what are some of the things where he made a promise and he turned his back?
Paul Ryan said he was for smaller government. You look at Paul Ryan. I mean, just 2 days ago, 3 days ago, you hear Paul Ryan talking about we need to bail out Puerto Rico. What's the first thing out of Paul Ryan's mouth? Well, I'm not calling it a bailout. I'm calling it a restructuring. What we need to do is create this big... we need to create a board, kind of like what they did. Paul Ryan's first solution, more government. More government. Let's put a non-elected board together to solve this Puerto Rico deal. Why does Paul Ryan want to solve Puerto Rico? Because Puerto Rico is tax-free investments for a lot of very high wealth donors.
You don't think it's about the people living on the streets in San Juan?
No, it's not about the people living on the streets in San Juan. It's about Paul Ryan taking care of his buddies who poured a pile of money into his war chest.
Been a lot of ads on recently about this bailout with Puerto Rico. What's it going to cost us? Any idea?
It's going to cost us somewhere on the order of $80 billion. And look what Paul Ryan's doing to our Marines. Look what Paul Ryan's doing to the VA. Look what Paul Ryan's doing to Medicaid. You know, Paul Ryan has all the time in the world to talk about we need to be bailing something out or we need to be spending America's money. But he has no time to. He talks about we need to simplify the tax code, or we need to. So, tax code. You asked me what did Paul Ryan lie about? Paul Ryan said we need to simplify the tax code. Exactly, crickets. You hear crickets. He hasn't suggested one thing he's going to do differently with that. They haven't passed a budget since before Barack Obama was put into office. Paul Ryan is vaunted as this budget czar. He hasn't passed. Paul Ryan, managing a pile of continuing resolutions, that's not a budget. That's you start working on a budget, July, the year before you're going to actually put that budget in place. I've been doing budgets since, you know, 1988, 1989. Paul Ryan has no...
Let me ask you something. What was it that attracted you to him politically in the very beginning?
What attracted me was Paul Ryan's... I thought he was earnest. I thought he... I believe that the guy was saying, we need to put an alternative to... Obamacare was one of them. Well, you know, I have no problem with everybody having health care. My solution wouldn't have been Obamacare. The government's here to regulate interstate trade, make sure that it's regular, not manage it. Paul Ryan believes that,
but he didn't support the Affordable Care Act.
Well, but so I'll give you an example. So let's say you have a boat to sell. I'm going to give you a short story. You have a boat to sell. You say you want to sell that boat. You go into a bar and you tell people, hey, I'm looking for a boat to sell. And you figure out, hey, I'm going to get six or seven of my buddies to buy this boat. And you realize, now that six or seven of them are doing that, I don't need to actually be in the boat sale myself. I can extricate myself. Paul Ryan is very adept at getting things going in emotion and then stepping out of it himself. Look at some of his agreements, like this students, every student succeeds.
I want to get back to the healthcare thing. Yeah. What should he have? What has he not done that he should have?
He should have come out with a proposal that was clear on this is a great thing for the country. He hasn't come out with any proposals that this is a great thing for the country. He keeps saying, "Well, that's in committee." Paul Ryan's great position on things is somebody else is working on it. This. Oh, great, Paul Ryan, we hired you to do a job here. He's subbing out his work to somebody else. Everybody who's in manufacturing knows what subbing out is. So you say, okay, I'm paying you to build a car for me. Okay, well, are you building the car? Well, I'm not actually physically building the car. I've got other people building it for you. Well, I went to you, or let's use a Harley as an example. I want you to make a custom Harley for me. You make great custom Harleys. Okay, I'm going to get somebody else to build that for you. Paul Ryan's not doing this work himself. The only legislation, Paul Ryan submitted like 70 pieces of legislation. The only thing he's got passed is renaming a post office. That's all Paul Ryan has actually accomplished.
Was it after somebody good?
Since not, you know what? I should know what the name is. If I'm going to tell that story, I should know the name. Yeah. But he got a post office renamed. It's a terrible situation that Paul Ryan...
The media sure likes him, though. The mainstream media in Washington and New York love him.
Yeah, and it's because of this combination of the uniparty. There really isn't. They lead us to believe Democrats and Republicans are fighting against each other, but really, they're working on behalf of these big corporations, the crony corporations that are pouring money into their campaign coffers.
Can you stay over a little bit here? Can you stay a little longer? Okay. All right. Todd Nayland with us on the big FM 93.7 and the big AM 1380. He is running in the Republican primary for the nomination in August 9th against Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, of course, was elected in 1998. The district has been gerrymandered. Paul Ryan got to pick his voters, which is why he's still in office.
Paul from AMS with us on the big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale, and we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that, and we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS.
Paul Nayland, candidate for Congress, with us. We're enjoying our conversation so much. Normally somebody just gets a half hour, but I'm enjoying this conversation, and this is the first chance I've had to meet you. What's your website so people can go to?
There's two ways you can go, Sly. That's a great question. You can go to electnehlen.com, elect, NEHLEN.com, or you can go the more fun route, which is dumppaulryan.com. The reason we set that dumppaulryan.com website up is because we bought a very large dump truck and we painted it like a Tonka-like truck.
Uh-huh.
And on the side of that truck it says, to get the dirt on Ryan, go to dumppaulryan.com. We're driving it around the district. We're putting a map up on the website, and we're going to show where it's been, where it is.
What kind of reaction are you getting to that?
People love it. We've got people who have already changed their Twitter handle and their Facebook page to that image.
All right, I want to get the exact sort of how you pronounce your name. Make sure that I get it right.
Nealon.
Nealon. Nealon. It's more Nealon.
Yeah, Nealon.
Nealon.
Old German name. Okay. Old German name. Nealon. Yeah, yeah. But I'll answer to pretty much. People, I always go by my last name. People call me Nealon, so you're welcome to call me Nealon if you want.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yep.
Manufacturing people are kind of funny, so you know, I go by Nealon.
Not as strange as radio people. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. As long as we're playing Paul Ryan clips here, we have the candy one. We've had Fast Track. Here's Paul Ryan talking about. Here's Paul Ryan in front of the, I don't know, some Ayn Rand group.
I'm happy to say, as one of the leaders in the fight to reform Social Security by allowing for the expanded use of individual retirement accounts. Now, I don't know whether you use the privatization word. We here have no problem with that. But, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, do a little bit of a soft sell up there because many members of Congress are not quite as far-thinking as Congressman Ryan.
Social Security right now is a collectivist system. It's a welfare transfer system. It's a system where, and I always tell my constituents, and none of them usually believe me, you don't have an account with your name on it in the federal government. There isn't a box with your cash in it that's going to come to you when you retire. A lot of people think that. And what's important is if we actually accomplish this goal of personalizing Social Security. Personalizing Social Security. Think of what we will accomplish.
That doesn't sound good for my bottom line. You know, and it ain't all that many years before I retire. I got about another 10 of working.
And you've been paying in this whole time, right?
Yeah,
it's funny
since 1977.
Funny to these guys. It's funny to these guys. That incenses me, the laughter in the background.
That $2,500 a month is going to be important to me.
Don't you get a statement every year that mm-hmm. says this is mm-hmm. what you paid and
yeah.
this is what you've done?
Yeah,
hey, I get
that's
one
my
too.
Money. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Social Security number and I've got money that I've paid in and it comes to me and I look at it and I'm very interested in looking at
so
that.
So you don't want to privatize Social Security.
No, I look. People have paid in. There's a contract that we've made. Do I think that maybe there should be some other form of things dreamt up? But I'm not saying privatize it. I mean, Paul Ryan's just looking for a different form. He called it a collectivist method. How is it not differently collectivist when he's saying, take your money and invest it with my crony buddies? How is that not exactly the same thing? If he's calling it collectivist, I mean, if we've got it with the federal government and our federal government has more manufacturing jobs puts more money in the
in
treasury.
The Social Security system.
Yes.
Thank you.
Paul Ryan doesn't get it. Paul Ryan, he simply doesn't get it. When you come out of high school and you go into working a couple of part-time jobs to go to go to Congress, essentially is what he did. He has no sense.
Well, he's a ski bum for a while.
Well, you know, I'll agree with you on the bum part. I don't want to be rude. Look, I think
sounds
that
like you're kind of mad at him. Kind of seems like you're a little angry with him.
Anger's not going to get it done. A coalition's going to get it done. Here in Wisconsin, we've got open primaries. And, you know, I would encourage Democrats to have a look at my website. I would ask everybody, no matter what political stripe you think you are, if you think having jobs so you can pay your bills is a good idea, have a look at my site. I'll just leave it right there. I'll just set that right there.
Was Donald Trump an inspiration for your candidacy?
You know what? I wasn't. I actually was inspired to run before Donald Trump even announced he was running.
Oh, so this is something you've thought about for a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, last April when Paul Ryan said, let's do Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority, my head almost exploded. I did like a 720-degree spin of my head. I said, what are you talking about, Fast Track? Why? Who needs 5,500 pages of document to do trade? All right, Sly, you have something that I want, and I have something that you want. Let's say you've got this great Harley Davidson. I love it. It's fabulous. You're sick of it. You want to buy a new one, and I got some money in my pocket because I've worked hard. I offer you that money, and you say, this is a good deal. You give me the bike, I give you the money. that's free trade. Did we need 5,500 pages to do that?
No. And by the way, these trade agreements also pick winners and losers.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Take a look at, let's stick on the motorcycle for a second. Do you know what India, the country of India, do you know what their tariff is on American motorcycles?
It's like 90% or some outrageous percent.
100%.
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, and do you know what it is on them selling a bike into this country?
Zero.
It's like 2.4, 2.7%. So then again, picking winners and losers. You're exactly right. We right up in Milwaukee, we got a great motorcycle facility. They're not selling any bikes into India because there's a huge tariff.
Right.
So to get around that, this is the problem with government. The companies are trying to figure out ways. We're shipping parts to India because there's a factory over there.
You know, there's a veteran in Milwaukee who came up with an invention. It was a certain type of windshield for Harleys.
Okay.
There was a big piece about this in the Journal Sentinel. He loved this invention, had Harley support. It was some type of illuminated windshield, aftermarket part for Harleys. But he wanted to make them in Milwaukee, and he wanted to employ veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan to make them. And yet, he couldn't get capital because everybody said, you've got to make them in China or Mexico to make it worth it. Otherwise, we're not going to give you the money. You know what really bothers me? And that was really an interesting piece. I thought everybody in the state would come together and stand behind that guy. But, you know, people didn't. And that tells me that there, you know, when somebody comes up with an idea to put veterans coming back that have served our country to work in a city that literally lost its 30th Street Industrial Core, you know, that's my hometown. Yeah. I feel horrible about that. The other thing the Journal Sentinel did, and this is one of the great tragedies, is that since free trade has really taken effect over the last 30 years, the children dying in their formative years has gone up in Milwaukee at the same rate it's gone down in China. Now, of course, I want child mortality to go down in China. But the fact that as jobs left one country and went to another and child mortality went up, that ought to tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
real. We're still a manufacturing state, but 130,000 jobs are gone because of free trade. And don't tell me it's because of innovation and technology. The only breadcrumbs because of this trade adjustment assistance. We know what jobs specifically left because of free trade. It's provable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you get companies that get tax breaks that end up sending jobs overseas. I think it was the Journal Sentinel that also reported on that. It's terrible situation.
It doesn't make me a communist for opposing these trade deals, right? I mean, this isn't capitalism.
No, it's not capitalism. I would suggest that. Paul Ryan knows that. Paul Ryan's not stupid. He's not stupid. He's just disingenuous. What he says and what he does are two different things. That's a big difference than saying somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they're bumbling around. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is funneling money to his special interest buddies. The way he spins it, the way he talks about how he does it, fools people. It fooled me. It fooled me for a while. Once I caught on and I started looking into where Paul Ryan's campaign financing was coming from, and I'll repeat it again for anybody who just tuned in, 83% of his campaign financing came from outside this district, and of that 83%, 65% came in the form of large donations from his special interest buddies in D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia. And you look at the people who would want a trade deal to build things in other countries, it's the same people that donated to Paul Ryan's campaign financing.
Kind of hard to turn a state around on that. We should go back and look to see who was somebody that beat a speaker from their own party in a primary. I bet you'd have to go way far back for that one. So you understand what you're taking on here, Paul.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, people have said this is a David and Goliath story. It's, you know, I have no issue with standing up and debating Paul Ryan on any of his votes in Congress, any of his positions on things.
Are you challenging him to a debate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or a Paul Ryan will not stand on his votes and succeed. He won't.
What do you think of his position and how he has dealt with the problem at the border and immigration?
Paul Ryan has funded every dangerous immigration policy that there is. Shouldn't we know who's coming across our borders? I mean, you wouldn't let somebody in your house that you can't vet. The FBI, the CIA, the
Security. I don't want to let my sister in my house. And if you met her, you'd understand.
That's funny. We're surrounded by sanctuary cities here in the First District. And while I am as compassionate as the next person on wanting people to be able to make a living, I also, the responsibility, the oath of office that Paul Ryan swore he would defend is a big part of it, is safety.
So you think he takes the position to support the Chamber of Commerce hoping for cheap labor?
Of course. He's Tom Donahue's water boy. He is Tom Donahue's water boy. So whatever Tom Donahue says, if he wants sparkling water or he wants spring water, Paul Ryan's getting it.
Or very expensive wine.
Or very expensive wine. Yeah, absolutely. $500 bottles, I hear.
So are you for building the wall? What would you propose that we do? I have to ask you, as an opponent of NAFTA and free trade, you do realize that free trade has exacerbated people coming into the country because people will run off their land that grew vegetables in northern Mexico, and now they're grown in America. It seems silly. They're grown in America. People sneak into the country to pick the vegetables here, and then they get shipped back to Mexico. It really created a great deal of disruption. So free trade, renegotiating NAFTA would help that problem at the border. As long as there's hungry people in Mexico, though, how do you stop what's going on?
I think you have to secure the border. You have to put up...
What does that mean?
You know, whether it's a wall or it's a fence, and it's people guarding that border so that it's not porous, that people just can't come through, you have to enforce existing immigration law. So if you've got ICE agents that pick up a dangerous person, you don't just let them go. I mean, ask Kate Steinle's parents what that means. That means don't keep people in the country that shouldn't be in the country. If people overstay their visas, if you overstayed your visa right now in New Zealand, I know people who've been to New Zealand. New Zealand starts calling you and saying, hey, do you have a job yet? Are you doing something? If you don't have a job, they're coming and hauling you and throwing you on a plane and sending you back to the United States. You don't just go to Australia or New Zealand or London. I lived in Europe for a couple years. And
we have kind of a unique situation, though, when we talk about that border, because we have an exceptionally poor country that was supposed to bear wonderful fruits from NAFTA, and of course that didn't happen for the most part. So we have an extraordinarily poor country next to a country that has more prosperity. So is the wall the long term fix? Don't we have to make sure that Mexico, and obviously I'm not talking about foreign aid here, but that Mexico gets its act together, and we can't have this constant tension at that border, especially with drugs.
Yeah. So I guess I would turn it around and play a little Socrates with you. I would say wouldn't it be better use of Luis Gutierrez's time to help fix Mexico than to try to bring everybody from Mexico to the United States?
Well, that's right, because I think if people had their druthers, they'd rather stay in their own country.
Yeah, I mean, so you're at your house or your apartment or wherever you call home. Do you walk over to your neighbor's house and tell them how they ought to run things? No. They tell you to get the heck back into your own yard and manage your own situation. So I would say to anybody in Mexico who thinks it's better to be here and manage our situation, change our laws, change Mexican laws. Change out your leadership in Mexico to people who are going to support, just like I'm suggesting I'm going to do to Paul Ryan.
Would you support what Donald Trump has called for, and that is deporting 11 or 12 million people?
You know, I would suggest that we use the biometrics, we use the e-verify system. If somebody shouldn't be here, They shouldn't be here. They should go home. And however that turns into, I don't think we would end up rounding people up. I don't think it would come to that. But I also, you can't just send money to Cuba. You can't just wire money to Cuba. So this dollar value that they're talking about, let's say it's $25 billion is wired, $25 billion with a B is wired to Mexico every year. That's pure profit. So why are we allowing for that to continue on here? I think it's what Paul Ryan wants. He wants completely open borders.
Well, he's a globalist, right? He's obviously wants to be able to have corporations use workers at their disposal, for the lowest price.
Right. Of course. If you look at one of these larger employers who has been able to manage stagnated wages. Wages aren't going up in the middle class. They've been stagnated for a long time. That's because they keep wanting to flood more workers. You know, it's like ice cream. I love ice cream. You love ice cream. We all love ice cream. What about your 10th ice cream of the night? You get tired of that 10th ice cream. Well, it's the same thing if you end up with over-flooding the market. The value of it goes down. The value of the labor dollar goes down if you've got a lot of people flooded into that labor market. It's an easy way for big companies to keep wages down.
One more question. The Iraq war vote, you agree with it or disagree with it?
Well, in light of these 28 pages that they're saying went on, that
Saudi Arabia.
They say Saudi Arabia, I would ask Paul Ryan, where have you been for the last 15 years? As these 28, he's been in Congress for 28 years, and they've known there's 28 pages, and they're bringing this up now. Did we go to war with the wrong country? I don't know. I wasn't close enough to it to say. But I know Paul Ryan's been in Congress this whole time, and I would not say to any of the veterans who went over and fought and did what our country asked of them, but I would say to the people, the powers that be and the powers that were at the time. How did that all come about? If there were 28 pages that said something different, and we went maybe, and I don't exactly know, but I got to tell you, I don't think that we should have gone into Libya and blown up Libya. This whole Benghazi thing, the whole Egypt piece, I think those were wrong. Congress's job is to make war, and if war needs to be made, I'm not suggesting that's their job, but I'm suggesting it needs to be a voted on situation, not. We just go crazy bombing and killing people.
Do you think that the survivors of 9/11, people who lost loved ones, should be able to sue the government of Saudi Arabia if, in fact, those 28 pages?
I think we need to see what's in those 28 pages. I think,
but just a matter of principle. For instance, I thought it was very disconcerting when the Bush administration, when there was a ruling that the soldiers that were tortured by Saddam Hussein during the Persian Gulf War, who'd been physically harmed by him, they had money coming to them, and the Bush administration put a stop to it, saying that money was needed to keep Iraq stable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when a court makes a judgment that they, if you have money coming or you've been aggrieved by a foreign entity like that, you know, as a matter of principle, Barack Obama getting in this TPP certainly thinks that corporations ought to be able to sue America from places all over the world. So shouldn't it work both ways?
Yeah, that's ironic that you bring that. That's a great point, Sly. I mean,
it's always stacked against the little guy.
Yeah, it is. The Lockerbie, the people who suffered from the Lockerbie bombing,
right?
They got paid, right?
Right.
So I would say I don't see a reason why they shouldn't be able to get compensated for that. I mean nothing's jumping out at me as a reason why they shouldn't. And I think those 28 pages should be revealed. What's the secret? Why are we continuing to buy oil from them if they were complicit in this issue?
You get elected, you're going to vote yourself pay raises?
No, I'm not going to vote myself pay raises.
You going to live in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for the period that I've got to be in there voting, sure. I have to be there through the week. But I bought a house here. I've got a mortgage here. I love it here. I love the First District. Quite honestly, I could have lived anywhere If I was running businesses, I chose this place because I married a woman from here. I've got friends here. I've had former workers here. I've got current workers here. I love Wisconsin and the First District and its long history of manufacturing. I'm a manufacturing guy all the way to the fiber of my being, and I will work hard. If I'm elected, if the people honor me with the opportunity to serve them in Congress, it's the First District I'll be looking out for first.
Web address?
ElectNehlen.com. Elect, NehLen.com. Or the fun way, the fun road, DumpPaulRyan.com.
All right. And we'll put that up on SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.